Birdie.
Bullseye on weather on AM 930 and 100.3 FM. On the menu tonight, chilly with a low near 35. Sunshine Saturday, high of 67.
It's Bullseye on the Afternoon with Andy Bullbarch and Matt Douglas on AM 930 WEOL.
Thirteen minutes away from 4 o'clock, Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930, 100.3 FM. Jeez, oh man, I'm all over the place.
It's
AM 930, WEOL 100.3 FM. Andy Bullbarch, Matt Douglas with you. Time for us to drop some pucks and talk some Columbus Blue Jackets hockey. In order to do that, we bring in Jeff Svoboda, Columbus Blue Jackets insider. Jeff, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you?
So far, so good. And as I understand it, you're joining us today from the Windy City, and a lot of Blue Jackets hockey to discuss. Let's begin here. What's the latest on Josh Anderson, and when can we expect him back?
Well, the latest is that he will probably not be back tonight, but I think he's getting pretty close. He's on the trip with the Blue Jackets here in Chicago, skated this morning over at the United Center. He's still on injured reserve, but it looks like he's getting closer and closer. He went in with the team yesterday and did the full skate. It was kind of a skills day where he was out there on the ice and first full team skate, I think, since he'd been injured 2 weeks ago. So it looks like we're getting close. I'm not sure he plays tonight. I don't think he plays tonight, but I would say sometime in the next couple games, we should see him back out there, which would be good because they really missed him out there.
Jeff, wanted to ask you about something we kind of touched on last week, but we talk about the youth of this team. They're always one of the youngest teams, if not the youngest team in the NHL. And I was kind of thinking the other day as I'm watching them play against the Dallas Stars and they seem to be getting their wits around them. Do you think it takes a little longer for a young group of kids who haven't really played that NHL level to kind of figure things out and get into the swing of this game?
I think so, and you are right. It is, in fact, the youngest team on average in the NHL, at least it was on opening day. I don't know if there's any teams that have made any moves out there that have gotten them any younger than the Blue Jackets, but this is, I think, the third straight season that on opening day they had the youngest average age. So pretty incredible that that team was able to do that 3 years in a row. But, yeah, I would say that there's definitely some guys who are getting used to NHL hockey. You look at, they've got two 20-year-olds out there. And so, and Alexander Texier and Emil Bemström, and those guys, the consistency is the biggest thing. You'll see them do some really good things, and then you'll see them have some games where they're just not as noticeable. But I think that's the thing that's so exciting about this team, though, is that there is that ability to keep getting better, not just in this season, but over the coming season. They've got guys who are kind of going to be nearing their prime. Really, a lot of that core will be nearing its prime over the next couple seasons. And so, for them to kind of have the resilience that they had early in the season to bounce back from the rough start is good for such a young team. And I think it bodes well for the future as well.
Before we jump into the game tonight, I want to stay with that Dallas game, the Sonny Milano goal. Absolutely amazing. How crazy did Nationwide Arena go when he put that thing over Ben Bishop's shoulder?
Oh, absolutely crazy. It was one of those buzzes that just kind of lasted for a while. And obviously they kept showing the replay on the scoreboard because why wouldn't you? And it was just like, and people knew that they had seen something special when that happened. And really, the next 3 or 4 minutes of the game almost kind of just disappeared because everyone was still in shock by how good of a goal that was. That was going to be, they do the end of the season highlight packages. That very, very well may be the goal of the year. Six games into the season is crazy that it might happen, but that very well could be the case. But Sonny's obviously always had that skill in him. That's kind of why they drafted him where they drafted him. He's a first-round pick because he could put the puck in the net and he could do it somewhat spectacularly at times. And so, we're not going to get that every game out of Sonny Milano, but he's got that skill and he found the right time to use it.
He certainly does. It reminded me when he was with the Cleveland Monsters, I think it was against the Griffins in the playoffs, he had that, spinorama Denny Savard-type goal not too long ago. So he's a guy who's had the highlight reel goals before, for sure.
Yeah, and when he was drafted, one of the things that I think most Blue Jackets fans know about him is that if you Google Sonny Milano, or you go to YouTube and type in Sonny Milano, you will see His ability with the puck and his ability to do kind of like trick shots and just things like that is just, it's off the charts. And, you know, you don't get a chance to do it in the game too often in the NHL because there's, you know, really big guys out there trying to get you. But when he has that time and space, and he doesn't even really need that much time and space, he needs the right opportunity. And that was the right time to do it, where he had two guys on him, and that was probably the only way he was going to score a goal. So, you know, you might as well try to bring it off the trick shot bag, and it worked out for him.
How important was it for the Jackets to get that, especially coming off that victory over the Carolina Hurricanes, who at the time were undefeated and seemed to be kind of plowing through their competition, to go back-to-back and get that victory over a struggling Dallas Stars team? How important do you think that game was for him?
Well, you kind of hit it on the head there as far as, you know, you got to win games in different ways against different styles, and they're playing well against different teams with different styles, and they're playing well against teams that are kind of at different points of their season. You know, you go down to Carolina, and I think a lot of people probably expected the Hurricanes to roll in that game. They were 5-0, hadn't lost, were just coming off a big victory themselves. Columbus had lost the night before. And so suddenly, you know, you kind of look at it and go, you know, this is a tough ask going into Carolina to win this game. But the Blue Jackets went down there, and I think that was kind of a real gut check game for them to win that one. And then you come back, and maybe you could be overconfident. You're facing a Dallas team that is absolutely desperate for a victory. And so you're playing a team that's not going to roll over and just give you one. And then to come back and play as well as the Blue Jackets did in that game, I thought they played really well on Wednesday night, and to get that win is great. And then, you know, you got a team in Chicago right now that hasn't played a lot of games but is trying to find its way, and you got to go on the road again. So you're seeing them play in different situations, and hopefully they keep up playing well in those different situations.
Speaking with Blue Jackets insider Jeff Svoboda, give him a follow on Twitter at Jackets Insider. And you mentioned Chicago's, I can't say if they're having their strugglers or not, pretty small sample size for them. They started the year out in Prague. Is there been any jet lag, or has that been brought up in conversations with the media? I mean, these guys had to start off on the other side of the ocean.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. The Blue Jackets did that back in, I think, 2011 when they were in Stockholm. And you go and you play a game, and then I think the Blackhawks came back and had like a whole week off, which, you know, it's good of the schedule makers to give them that opportunity. There could be some, obviously. I didn't go to the Blackhawks media today, but, you know, they're coming off another stretch where they haven't played since Monday as well. So it'll be interesting to see what you get out of the Blackhawks. Will they be rested, or will they be a team that is still kind of feeling it from that trip? And then you add in that off time, which I'm sure they're probably happy to have. But, you know, will they be rested or rusted, I guess, is the big question. I don't remember exactly how the Blue Jackets did when they came back from Stockholm a couple years ago. I'd be curious to look and maybe see how teams traditionally have fared in that. But, you know, it's certainly quite a trip, and it probably can't help them in a way just because you're in such a different routine than you're used to.
If I recall, I think they actually started out well that season, and then everything kind of went to heck in November, if my memory serves me right. I was interning with the team that year, so I recall it going pretty south pretty quick after November. But as you mentioned, Chicago, an old Central Division rival tonight, and one of the guys I think we'll all be keeping an eye on is goaltender Jonas Korpisalo, expected to play tonight?
Looks like it's probably going to be Elvis Merzlikins, right, although they have not said for sure. But if when the scratches went over and skated this morning, they didn't do a full team skate. But Elvis was the first one off with the guys who are probably not playing tonight. So, you know, first goalie off usually is the one that gets the start. So, obviously, that adds a layer of intrigue because we haven't seen him in 2 weeks since that game in Pittsburgh. So, this will be an really interesting one to watch because of that.
Have you had the chance to talk to him? He's excited to get back on the ice and kind of put that Pittsburgh game behind him?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's a guy that he's excited for pretty much everything in his life. Just getting to know him, he's got that bubbly personality. But I'm sure he wants to get back out there. No one wants to sit there and kind of do what he's had to do over the last 2 weeks after a debut that was certainly not the debut that he had dreamed of as he thought about how it was going to go. Pretty much for the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, ever since he got drafted by this team, he dreamed about the day that he was going to make his NHL debut and then goes out and gives up 7 goals. But I think he's a guy, he's a battler. He's motivated by that kind of stuff. And so, you know, it'll be very interesting to see how he how this goes, how he handles it, how he kind of bounces back. Because, you know, mentally, I'm sure he'll be fine. It's just a matter of working on the game and getting it better to the point where he's able to kind of withstand these tests and kind of, you know, is his game coming along with the smaller ice, things like that? Because it's definitely been a transition. It's a little bit of a different game than he's used to playing. You know, it's very good overseas, but you come here, best players in the world, smaller ice surface, it's just different. And so he's got to get used to that, and this is a chance to get him back out there. We got 4 games in 6 days, so you have to play him in one of these. This is going to be the one it's going to be, it looks like.
Yeah, excited to see how he does tonight. The other goaltender, Jonas Korpisalo, he's played good the last 2 games. He's really starting to fill in that goaltender position as the starter, after being the backup for as many years as he has.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's played, I think he's at a 930 save percentage or something like that over the last three games. He's playing really well. And I told you guys last week, you know, he comes into that first game and pretty much admitted after the opener, it wasn't the nerves, but it was just the excitement of being back out there and the excitement of the opportunity he had. He'd been thinking about the first game for, basically 4 or 5 months. And so he didn't play his best because of it, but he came back, and now that he's kind of settled in, he just looks settled in. That's kind of how I would say it. And, you know, they talk about when he's at his best, he just looks very solid. He's not doing extra movements. Just looks comfortable, and he's looked comfortable the last three games. And, you know, it's kind of great to see him kind of take that opportunity and run with it because, you know, he's been patient. He's, you know, put up with being the backup for 4 years and hasn't complained, and now he's getting his chance. And he's, so far, I would say he's running with it.
Speaking with Jackets insider Jeff Svoboda, you can read his stuff on BlueJackets.com, NHL.com. He's also the pride of Southview High School here in Lorain County and in Lorain. But, Jeff, I wanted to ask you about one of the articles. Pretty cool. A couple of the Blue Jackets players got the opportunity to visit a local fire station, and as I was reading it, it reminds me of being a kid, visiting the fire station when you're in preschool, elementary school. It sounds like these guys got to do all the things we wish we could do if we got to visit a fire station.
Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty cool. Actually, this is a really neat weekend in that, first of all, it's the dad's trip weekend. So all the player dads, the ones who can make it, I think there's about 15 of them here, are here to accompany them to Chicago, and then they'll be back at Columbus at Nationwide Arena on Saturday night. But Saturday night is also first responders night. So obviously the Blue Jackets kind of rolling out the red carpet for any first responders who will be there. They got a ticket deal and things like that. But as part of it, a couple of the players, Marcus Nudavara and Oliver Bjorkstrand, went over to one of the firehouses in Columbus past week. And as you said, got to do everything that pretty much they would want to do, from sliding down the fireman's pole to putting on all the gear and getting up in the truck and kind of getting the chance to drive it a little bit under very very watchful eyes, I would say. But it was really cool. Marcus Nudavara is from Finland, and he says that, you know, if he had not been a hockey player, he'd be a firefighter back in his home country. So he certainly enjoys the whole thing because he had a smile on his face the entire time. You could tell he was on cloud nine to get the chance to do that.
That's interesting. Now, when I grew up, growing up in Indiana, I was a big Fort Wayne Comets fan. And there was a player who actually left mid-season to become a fireman. So I wonder if that's a natural kind of slide over for those hockey players.
Well, I think it is from a certain extent, just in that, first of all, I would say that, you know, you always talk to these guys, and they always have a healthy respect for the military and first responders and things like that. And also, when you move to the firehouse, one thing I thought was really cool, you could kind of see the parallels between the two jobs, and that, you know, you need teamwork and dedication and so many of the things that you have to have to be a great hockey player are the things that make you a great firefighter as well. And so it was kind of interesting to see, obviously, two different vocations, and one's a lot more important than the other, but there's also a lot of kind of similarities, I would say, between what they do and the qualities you have to have to do it. So it was kind of neat to kind of see, the firefighters really appreciated what the Blue Jackets do, and the Blue Jackets really appreciated what the firefighters do. So it's kind of cool to see that mutual respect that both of them had for each other.
That's really cool. And you got to be in good shape, too. That's why I'm not a fireman. That's why I work in radio. I eat too many donuts here.
That's all right.
Here. That's why I'm a writer.
Hey, we're all in that same boat here. No question about it. Well, don't forget, tomorrow night we have Blue Jackets hockey here on AM 930 WEOL beginning at 6:30, because tomorrow the Blue Jackets host the New York Islanders. But tonight they are in Chicago. Jeff, we appreciate the time. Thank you, as always, for joining us. Enjoy Chicago. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, sounds good.
Hey, real quick, Jeff, before you hang up, I'm curious, are there a lot of Buckeye fans and Blue Jackets kind of roaming the streets of Chicago right now?
You know what? Absolutely. last night we went to dinner and went to a pub around the corner from our hotel. There are Ohio State fans everywhere. Columbus natives, Ohioans, we talked to a bunch of them. There's Ohioans everywhere here in Chicago this weekend.
Well, the team should feel right at home. That's a good sign then.
Absolutely, yeah. Hopefully it brings a W because you got good support, you know?
For sure. Good deal. Thanks, Jeff.
All right, thanks, guys.
Again, that's Jeff Svoboda, Blue Jackets insider, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Quite the Columbus presence in Chicago.
Without a doubt, yeah.
No question.
Taking it over. Hopefully we can get wins everywhere, too.
All over the place. All right, just a couple of moments. Matt will let us know what's going on with the local news. And then Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio joins us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL and 100.